Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me to judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" And then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves but are not rich toward God." In Colossians, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated." Ooh. Come back, phone. "Seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile, no Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, good morning, everybody. So good to be in worship with you this morning. For those of you who don't know, we are Tim and Susie Grotti, and we miss you all. We've moved to Wisconsin to be closer to family, but it is so good to be with you. This is such a special place, and we're happy to be here this morning. So let's dig in. Let me open with a word of prayer. God, thanks for this special place. Thank you for a sanctuary in the midst of busy lives and a busy city. Thank you that we can pause now to lift our eyes to you, to turn our attention to you, to commune with you and with one another. We pray you'd fill our hearts, fill us up with your love and your goodness and a vision for your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I heard a story recently from a pastor who was talking about how there was a 93-year-old man in his church who was walking up some marble steps in the sanctuary. And when this man got to the top step, his toe kind of caught on that marble step, and he started to fall. And this man described how everyone in the church kind of held their breath, like they just, you know, it was like slow motion, like everybody wanted to help, but they couldn't get there fast enough. The whole congregation was leaning forward. Thankfully, there was like another usher nearby who was able to sort of reach out and help this man just in time. But I think we all can think of times where we've seen that, sort of the force of gravity pulling someone down, falling, and we can't get to them quick enough. We see it happening, but we can't get there to catch them. And there's this force in our world, right? Gravity. It pulls us to the ground, and sometimes in the way in which we fall. And we want to kind of, in those moments, we want to defy gravity. like that song from Wicked says, we all want to defy gravity and fly in a moment like that. But it's not just the physical pull of gravity that pulls us down in our lives. There's also this spiritual force that can pull us down. This relational force, something deeper, something spiritual, something emotional that can pull us down. And that is the force of fear, worry, this tendency toward believing that we are on our own in this world, or that we are what we earn and we don't earn enough, or we are what we achieve and we've failed or don't achieve enough, or we are what we protect and we couldn't protect that which we love. There's this pull down that is present in the human experience for all of us, no matter how shiny your Facebook profile looks, no matter how many beautiful pictures you post on Instagram, there is this force that can pull us down, and it can be exhausting, it can be heavy. It makes us forget, at least in those moments, it makes us forget who we really are in God through Christ.
Yes, and if we're honest, these messages are that we are not enough. You don't have enough. You need more. You know, you don't have enough money. You don't have enough beauty. You don't have enough rest. You don't have enough. So you need more, and that'll fix it, right? But here in Luke 12, Jesus is interrupted by this guy who comes up to Jesus. And, you know, a lot of people ask Jesus questions, but here Jesus is not being approached with a question. It's not like, hey, Jesus, can you heal me? Jesus, can you give me some wisdom? Here, Jesus is interrupted, and the guy demands something. He demands that Jesus tell his brother to split the inheritance with him, right? And what is happening? This guy thinks he needs more and that his brother won't take care of him, right? So what does Jesus do? What he always does. He tells a story. And he starts out this story with this man building the barns and expanding what he thinks he needs more. But that very night, his life is demanded of him. Now, Jesus isn't saying that money is bad. He's just saying money isn't enough. He's not saying that, you know, planning is bad or strategic thinking about your future is bad. He's just saying strategically thinking about your future and your stuff is not enough. Those things will never satisfy you. You know, your money will not keep you company and make you feel less alone. These things can't provide what you need. They're okay in our life. We need them. But there's this gravity that is being pulled on us that we think we need more. So, this is a story about the idols of our heart.
Yeah, Jesus is such a masterful storyteller, and he tells this story, of course, in response, like Tim said, to this guy who interrupts him with concerns about making sure he gets his fair share of the inheritance. And Jesus speaks to I think of it like this. Jesus is speaking to the thing under the thing. So the guy comes with this question. It's very logistical. It's very like, Jesus, do this, right? Like, here's what I want you to do. And Jesus doesn't actually speak to that thing. He speaks to the thing under the thing. And the thing under the thing in this question is the more important discussion to be had. And it has to do with where this man's security, ultimate security, really lies. Now, in the other text that we read that goes with this particular week, Paul gives us this different story, almost like this pull of gravity is pulling us down, and Paul's like, you got to replace that with a higher, with a better, with a different story. So in Colossians 3, he says this, since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. I love that phrase, hidden with Christ in God. Your life is now hidden with Christ. That's the higher thing. That's the thing that defies gravity. That's the thing that when we focus on it, lifts us up from these things that pull us down. It means that the truest thing about you isn't on the surface of your life. It's not your job. It's not your title. It's not your 401k, your portfolio. It's not your social media presence and following. It's not your to-do list. The real you, the truest thing about you, the most important thing, your peace, your purpose, your identity, is wrapped up in God in Christ. It's wrapped up in Jesus. Your life, your truest, most important part of you, is hidden with Christ and God. And when we begin to focus on that, when we begin to really live there, when we begin to live with an awareness that our life is hidden in Christ, everything changes, because it changes on the inside, even if the externals of our lives don't change. No matter what's happening externally in your life or in the world, you know that the most important things are already settled. You've been raised with Christ. Your life is now hidden with Christ and God. And so then you live as one who has set your heart on those things above, where Christ is seated with God.
So a few years ago, we were in Portugal, and we saw something for the first time, and maybe you've seen this as well around the world. But we were walking, and on the sidewalks, there would be little messages that said, "Look up." And we were confused, what is going on? Why look up? Well, apparently, around the world, this is happening where people are on their phones looking down, and they walk right out into the middle of traffic. Because where do you put walk signs and don't walk signs? Up high and across the street. So the trouble was people are now scrolling on their phone, looking down, and we have this new thing. You've heard of distracted driving. I mean, it's illegal here in Colorado to have your phone out while you're driving, right? No more of that. Well, now there's this new thing called distracted walking, because you just walk looking down at your phone and you walk out into traffic. So in Melbourne, Australia, they've actually done even more than just little messages. They've installed lights into the sidewalks, red and green. So you're walking and you see a red light, you know to stop, and you are safe. And they did this because apparently there was this one very big intersection, 40 people and 500 people injured in 1 year. And so they installed these lights in the ground, and that cut dramatically the number of deaths and injuries. But it's the idea of this that we can bring over to our life with Christ, that we are often walking in our life with Christ, looking down, and we need to be reminded to look up, right? We all know the danger of looking down and walking out in the middle of the road, but what are the dangers in our own life when we are distracted walking with Christ?
Yeah, exactly. That's what Paul's talking about in Colossians 3, is that everybody knows you're walking, looking at your phone. That's dangerous. And he's saying it is also dangerous to be looking down at these things below rather than looking up. It's equally as dangerous. Maybe it's not as obvious, but it's equally as dangerous when we're looking down emotionally, relationally, spiritually, when we're looking down and losing hope and getting anxious and getting worried and getting all filled up with despair. It's equally dangerous to be looking down in that way too. So Paul is warning the Colossians about these specific things that pull us down. And he's saying, lift up your eyes, like look up. That gravity that pulls down the soul, these things that pull down the human experience. So in verse 5 in Colossians 3, he says, put to death that which is earthly in you. And then he gives this little list: immorality, impurity, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Like, put them to death, he says. And then he says there are these ways, you know, that you're pulled down. Those are like the ways you're pulled down. The first set of the list is like ways you're pulled down internally, things on the inside. But then he gives this second list, and he says, now you must put them away, and they're kind of more external things, things that have to do with one another, with people. And he says, put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk, lies, those seem to be the things directed outward towards others that also pull us down, that take our focus away, ways in which we're walking looking down rather than looking up at God's promises and at God's truth. That downward pull, that gravity pull, the ways in which we look down and focus on the ground. These are things that Paul is warning the Colossians about, and he's warning us about too. They're ways in which it's like idols of our hearts, idols of our habits. And just like Jesus was warning in the gospel reading about storing up stuff, like physical stuff in the barns that cannot save us, those full barns are like idols in our lives. Paul here is saying there are also idols in our hearts and in our habits that trip us up too. But what I love so much about this picture of like the streetlights coming right where your feet are, right where your focus is, isn't that like a picture of how kind God is too? That no matter where we're looking, even when it's where we know we ought not to be, it's like God meets us there, like right in the sidewalk while we're doing this with lights. It's not like Christ comes with a whole bunch of shame. He comes in kindness and love and grace and just says, look up. Like, look at where your life is now hidden with me. Like, there's a better way to walk. It's interesting that there's so many times in Scripture where we read some version of the phrase, look up. Like, just what we were reading a moment ago. Jesus takes the bread, he looks up to heaven and gives thanks for it. Many times when Jesus prayed in Scripture, we read that he looked up. And even like in the Psalms, you know, lift up your eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? There's this theme in Scripture of looking up as we walk faithfully step by step. It's like God's lights are meeting us wherever we're looking, but they're reminding us, they're inviting us to lift our countenance, to lift our heads, to look up.
So where are you looking this morning? What story are you living out? You know, I don't know what our modern version of building more barns is, but are you building barns or are you following Jesus? You know, are your priorities shaped by fear or by faith? And are you chasing some illusion of control or are you living from that more risky place of trust? And Jesus is inviting us to let go. To defy gravity, all the things that are pulling on us here in this life, to loosen our grip on the things that cannot save us in order to lift our eyes and take hold of the things that can save us and have saved us in Jesus. So this week, as you feel that tug pulling on you once again and that temptation to measure yourself against somebody else in how they're doing in success, or how they look, or all the things we like to measure and compare ourselves with. Take a moment, as you're looking down in that, to lift your eyes once again, to look up, to receive from God once again that great message that your life is hidden in God. You are hidden in Christ. You're safe and secure there.
Imagine what it would be like if we lived there. Imagine if each church community didn't obsess with, like, you know, how many people do we have, and, you know, what is our appearance in the city, and what's our status, and what's going on with the bank account. But imagine if each church community, right, rooted itself in belonging in Christ and God, because we're not scrambling to prove anything. When our lives are really hidden in Christ with God, and we've talked about this before, you know, it's kind of that with every breath of every day, with every step that we take, there's this mantra in our heads. In Christ, I've nothing to gain. I've got nothing to lose. I've got nothing to fear. I've got nothing to prove. I'm held. I'm safe and secure in the everlasting arms of God. That's what Paul meant when he said, Christ is all, and Christ is in all. Like, no comparison needed, no competition needed, no fear, just real life anchored in Jesus. So That's the invitation for all of us to live from that place, to walk that path, trusting enough to like loosen our grip on all the things we fear and want to control and want to orchestrate in our lives and in the world, to defy gravity together in looking up and being found together in Christ and God. So that's our invitation this week.